She's winding up. She's getting to second, but Pride of Jenny at the 200. My goodness, 15 in front. Declan Bates goes for the whip, riding a ride out. There's no need. This is a demolition job. Pride of Jenny in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. My, oh, my.
G'day, listeners. Triple J Racing Weekly back for another episode on the podcast. We had a pretty good weekend last weekend, so looking forward to discussing a couple of those winners and hopefully finding a couple more. But firstly, mate, Bryce, how are you going up there on the Sunshine State?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. We had a massive downpour today. It was sort of like an hour, bit of a thunderstorm. So I don't know how much that's going to affect Saturday. Dries up pretty good up here. But yeah, mate, it was just 1 second there was no rain and the next it was just absolutely pelting and then stopped. So yeah, just keep an eye on the tracks. If anyone's betting around Queensland, that might have just maybe just chucked it into the soft range. How you doing, mate?
Eagle Farm might be in the soft, you reckon? Yeah, going good, mate. Going good. Just about to give ourselves a bit of a wrap for a couple of winners last weekend, mate. And then I've heard from you that you had a late night on Friday night, DJ until 3 a.m, and you didn't even get a chance to back the absolute moral of the weekend that you talked up evaporate. What happened there?
Yeah, I woke up mid-race. Actually, it was like my body woke me up to say, body clock woke me up to say, jump on this, jump on this. And you know what you're like when you drink. You don't want to wake up with any too quickly, do you? So, yeah, it was a good win. It was, I think when you try and quote them, they should be $1.50, $1.60. You want them to win. So, yeah, it did the job, mate. I'm keen to see that progress. It did look like a fairly weak field. I was pretty shocked by the odds, but it is hindsight. It was the Valley. It had a dream run. But yeah, it all fell into place. It was a good win.
I was watching that win on the weekend and thinking about what we said on the podcast about those maiden horses that, you know, won by a couple of lengths coming up, you know, from maiden company. But this horse, like you said, it had already won at the Valley. It had put in a couple of wins. I think it had won in potentially Benchmark 64 company or something like that. It honestly was the bet of the weekend. So that was a really nice win for you, mate. And I also myself there with, I think it was about race three on Saturday. I'd already filled the kit bag up quite a fair bit. I was feeling confident. The beers were going down like a dream. Spring Lee got the win. I was stoked to see Spring Lee beat Martini Mama as suggested on the potty. And then Melody again at the double figure odds. Did you catch the winner Melody again, mate? What did you think of that one?
Yeah, really good. Nicely found by you. It's one of those horses, isn't it? Sort of needs everything to fall into place to be winning. And that did exactly that. And yeah, it was just an impressive win. I think the trifecta was the three we spoke about. Atmospheric Rock was good. But yeah, you could have said it was going to win from a while out. And I mean, as you said, its form lines were excellent for that kind of race. So yeah, well found, mate. And 300 or 400 out, you would have been pretty happy with yourself.
Oh, about a furlong, mate. I was starting to count the money. And I had a few of the fellas over my place and we were all getting up and about. So absolutely delighted with that. A couple of other winners that we mentioned. Manal obviously got the win in the Furious Stakes. Interesting one there was first to eighth place in that race were separated by 1.7 lengths. So just for, you know, punters sort of taking form out of that race moving forward, I think there'll be a lot of horses and probably a lot of value because you couldn't really split the first eight runners there. So tight finish. I think they'll all go out to the 1400 now. It'll be interesting. And also Pericles was quite dominant. Did you have a horse out of the weekend's racing that you wanted to follow or tip listeners into moving forward?
Yeah, mate, I've actually gone with something that ran yesterday, Tanglewood. It ran at the Kenzo off the back of some good trials. Tipped it on back a winner as best value. And even though it won by 0.2 lengths, I think it was a good effort. I mean, its form it's coming off a break, so it'll only be improved, but its form sort of just pipped by Clear Thinking when it went to the paddock. So I think that horse has a decent future and won a trial by 7 lengths. So I'm keen to stick with Tanglewood. I think it's got some good sort of potentially country races in it. Don't know if it would qualify for the Cozzy. It might. So they might have their eyes on a race like that. And its prior form's certainly good enough. So, yeah, I think going forward, mate, we'll see that bob up in some all right races. I don't know if you saw the win, but, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, absolutely. I know the horse quite well, Tanglewood, and you're probably right and potentially if we can get out a little bit in trip, maybe the country championships as well for that horse. So that's an interesting one. Horse to follow for me, really, I was putting Naff Cabin in the horse to follow category just because I thought it was the one runner on the weekend that didn't really get any luck at all. So I know you weren't real keen on that horse last week, but I thought it was a really good win by I Am Me. But I thought I Am Me and Bella Nipotina had dream runs. They were both in on the fence behind the speed. So good runs in transit. What were your thoughts on Gear Kick, mate? Were you a bit concerned about that first up effort, or just a bit hard to judge having 12 months out and then first up over 1,000 meters?
Yeah, controversial opinion, but I'm not fully sold on Giga Kick. I think, don't get me wrong, it's an incredibly good horse. I'd want to own it any day of the week. But I thought that Everest win was a bit of a timing thing. Like I was impressed by it. Don't get me wrong, but you've got the top sprinters were just a little bit off then. I just didn't think it was the strongest Everest. I mean, Nature Strip maybe was caught wide that day, I think, and doing a fair bit of work, and Eduardo just a bit past his best. So I thought if anyone's going to win the Everest, it's probably that year. So I've always thought Giga Kick's a really good horse, but I haven't quite been on that bandwagon of it being an absolute superstar. I just think it won the Everest the right year that it won it. So yeah, I thought it was. Definitely, it's done better in the past than its first up run. I'm not writing it off in the future, but maybe just a smidge overhyped in my opinion in the past. But don't get me wrong, like I said, mate, if I owned 1.1% of Giga Kick, I'd be happy with myself. So yeah, it's not it's it's a, it's a damn good horse, but I just think it won the Everest the right year. I thought the superstars were off their game, so I'm not sure, mate. I don't. Yeah, I think there's others that are better out there this year. I wouldn't be surprised if it tapers off a little bit.
I think that's a fair comment, mate. I think that there was certainly a changing of the guard happening around that time, and those older horses moved on. You look at the horses they're talking up for this year's Everest. I think it's going to be a super open affair this year, and the likes of Jolystar and that coming through is going to be exciting. But anyway, I hope the Gear Kick does come back to its best. But the thing about these sprinters, mate, is they don't get to be sort of eased into a preparation, have those first, second, third up runs to get fit, then get out of the right trip. They've got to be well-oiled machines at the top of their ability from the first up assignment. You can't sprint 1,000 meters without being ready to go. So that's why it was so amazing that Nature Strip and Eduardo had those long careers like they did. But anyway, mate, that's enough of the early jargon out of the way in the podcast. We're obviously doing this podcast quite late tonight, so we're just going to roll into the tips, get them out of the way, and probably have a bit of a shorter podcast this week. But at the end of the day, as long as we tip winners, and I'll tell you what, mate, I know you didn't find any, but I've got a bit of value around this week's podcast. So hopefully a couple of horses I'm talking about, and we can follow them in. But Rose Hill, it's good for the rail's out 5 meters. The last meeting of this track was a fortnight ago, and I thought it was really hard to make up ground. The rail goes out even further today. Minimal rain. I think it'll be on pace again. I'm assuming you're thinking it's going to be the same.
I'm sticking all year.
Yeah, especially when it's dry at Rose Hill. And they're getting the rail out. I think it's just going to. Oh, I think this will be really on pace. I think it'll be very hard to make up ground on Saturday. But I'm kicking one off in the midway, mate. Race one, 1,200 metres. I like a horse called Trees or Trez. I think that's the way they pronounce it. Molly Burke's taking the ride. She's a 5-year-old mare who's second up, but 3 weeks between runs since leading a midweight over the 1,200 at Randwick. That was a race that well-timed won, and Bundini comes out of that race. And what I like here is the horse is second up. Added fitness, obviously. Goes from Randwick to Rose Hill with suits on-pace horses. We get a dry deck. Molly Burke will just roll forward. And mate, there's so much less depth here in this midway than there was in that last one. It's not funny. And the favourite is obviously a horse that I've got a lot of time for as well, Alabama State. But he's coming off a Class 1 win. And there's a stack of horses here coming up from Kembla Grange, 64s and things like that. I just think Molly Burke's going to be on the speed and hard to run down. And dead set, $10 and $3.20 for a horse like that, race one. I think that that's a great start to the day. Do you have any opinion there or know the horse I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I'm well aware. I think there's a good quinella in this, actually, mate. It'll pay really well if we can lob it. But Treyers and Monty Kate, I think Monty Kate will drop 3 kilos out of a BM 72 behind Bonita Queen. I was with it a few times earlier this year. Nice win with Tommy Berry rode it. Tends to sort of have a bit of speed and leave its and get itself finding the front early, so it needs to say switch on. But it was 4 lengths off Spring Lee at. Just a couple of months ago. So I think that might be a quinella, mate. If it lobs, it'll probably pay $50, $60 or something. So worth a little look, I reckon.
I'll be getting on that, mate. You know why? Barrier one, Rose Hill, 5 meter rail, dry deck, inborn the speed.
Yeah.
You've got the danger there at $11.340, and hopefully we can knock off that shorter price class one winner, Alabama State. But yeah, really keen on Trez in the first race. And now I'm going back down the well with a horse here that I've been sticking solid with throughout the whole preparation to No Luck. Race five, benchmark 78, 1500 meters. Vivier obviously backed it first and second up. but I honestly can't knock both of her runs this preparation, apart from the fact that I haven't got the cash. She's been pretty good. Circumstances have been against her. Obviously, 1200 meters was just too short fresh. And then last start, couldn't reel in a leader. Who was it? It's a knockout. Yeah, couldn't reel in. It's a knockout that fortnight ago on that day that I thought was hard to make up ground. Now she's stirred up, rock hard fit. And I love that Jason Collard goes aboard. Obviously, J-Mac's down at Flemington, so that's the reason for that. This race has a lot of tempo, and I'm really happy to take the $6 and $2.30. I've been happy with the horse sale prep. She's third up now. She'll be in the running line. She'll roll forward. I think she's a great price, mate. What did you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought you were going to say Vivier, but mate, if you stick with something and you're getting at odds like that, I think we can get in the trap when you get stuck on a horse and you end up backing it at $1.80 because you think it's got to win this time. It's got to win. But yeah, $6 is a totally different story. And you look at its SPs, this prep, it's 235 and 360. So yeah, it's gone triple its first up price and double its second up price. So yeah, whatever it runs, mate. I think there's plenty of yeah, it's a good idea. The other one I wouldn't mind just shouting out to. I've been trying. If it's on speed, it's probably in a bit of strife. But you'd obviously know this horse. It's a bit of a country's horse. Its form's good, not far off front page. Beat Cavalier Charles, not far off super helpful. $11 barrier one could get sticky from there. But yeah, mate, I think that's probably the danger. Obviously, if on speed's just red hot, then High Dandy will probably lead and try and run them into the ground. But maybe another sneaky Quinella here, mate. Vivier, and I've been trying. If we can lob those two to kick off the day, then that's it. Take it to the bank.
I reckon there's serious value at Rose Hill on the weekend. I know that you said you couldn't find too much of value, and there was a couple of shorter ones you were keen on, but I could be wrong. But I've got another one in race seven that I wanted to have a little bit of a nibble at. You probably know which one I'm going to go for here too. But the Ming Dynasty, Group Three Ming Dynasty over the 1400 meters. I'm going to stick with the Robin Luke Price trained Monte VB. One of my favorite horses on taps, the old VB, and you can't beat that. But I also really like this Schnitzel Colt, Monte VB. I really like the horse, and this race, as I said, is extremely open. He was absolutely luckless there first up at Warwick Farm over the 1100 meters. He was just held up, held up, held up, held up till the last 50 and got out and hit the line well. And then 1400 meters last start. I understand that he didn't win the race and he was behind El Castello, but I thought it was a pretty good performance. I thought he was just getting warm late. Warwick Farm's obviously a track that doesn't give you too much time to wind up before the race is over, and he was running away from Mr. Artemisia on the line. I love that he goes Warwick Farm to Randwick now, gets the big track. Sorry, Rose Hill gets the bigger track. He'll roll forward on a day that suits, and I just think with 53 kilos on his back, I think the horse is well over the odds in a race where, favourites Mayfair at $4.20. You couldn't get overly excited about the price there, and then you could look all the way down the line and pick one. What did you think about Monte VB's chances at 21 and 550?
Yeah, it's not the worst chance. I mean, it was second in Imperial Force, and that's $13 here. So yeah, I see what you're saying. It's one of these races, isn't it? It's pretty deep. I didn't mind Snack Bar, even though the draw's tricky. Like, I do like that form around Autumn Glow. And then end of last prep was around Perspiration, was second to Perspiration, and beat Sneaky Sunrise. I don't mind that kind of form line, but this is pretty hard to line these up because most of these are coming out of different races. Lady Shenandoah has got pretty handy form as well. It is wide open. I'm not too sure, mate. It's a tricky one, but yeah, I don't mind the case for yours and anything with Gibbo on, I'll be tempted.
Oh, absolutely, young Gibbo. I think he had a bit of a freshen up, went on a holiday, and he's back in action now. But yeah, I'd have this bet any day of the week, 21 and 550 in a race, like you said, And nothing's going to shock you, but I know the horse will run well. I know that he'll love Rose Hill, and I know that he'll love the 1400. So that's my thought process there, mate. We'll head down to Flemington now. You've got a one or two down there you're keen on as well, so it won't just be me throwing out tips for everyone. But soft five with the rail in the true position, obviously back to Flemington track on the weekend. There's a forecast for 2 to 9 millimeters on Saturday, so I'm just expecting it to be probably a soft five, soft six. When they say 2 to 9 mils, you could get 3, you could get 12. So who knows? But it'll be a fair deck on the weekend. You got any track pattern for Flemington? Obviously, it's the longest straight in the country, so I couldn't even run down at 600 meters. So there's plenty of room for the horses to wind up. How do you think it's going to play?
Yeah, probably every chance, mate. It is a good track to sort of bet on. Like, you're going to get your chance, generally speaking. So, yeah, as long as the runner can sustain their run, then they're a good hope.
Absolutely. Well, mate, race two, I like a horse called Dawn Service, $4 odds. The stable have been really patient with this colt. He's by Justify out of a mare called Sunlight, which I'm sure that a lot of people are aware of. That's an outstanding pedigree. But he's had three super runs in Sydney, good debut over the 1100, which was franked by Axius, who won his next start. And then he went to Hawkesbury and won a maiden by 4 lengths before running second to that Boom Filly Autumn Glow, who's since won again. Heads down to Melbourne, Barrier 5. Blake Shin jumps on. That's the ultimate gear change. Blake Shin going on right now in Melbourne. He's unstoppable at the moment. And I like that he's had 2 1300-meter lead-up runs for this 1400-meter assignment here. The favourite's only got 1200-meter form. So did you have any opinion of race two?
Yeah, I tipped it as well, mate. Pretty much summed it up perfectly there. I'll lead us into race three, I guess, with a good multi. I think Dawn Service, this is going to be my best bet of the week, actually. Dawn Service to place. It's gone into a two race place now with the scratching and just party, but still keen on it. Into Bold Bastille to place for $3. That's pretty good, I think. And yeah, I'll say with race three, mate. I mean, leads me in. I am keen on Bold Bastille. Generally speaking, I just think, I mean, you go off last prep, it beat Drifting fair and square, and Drifting goes up 3 kilos from that meet. So, yeah, if you're going to be backing Drifting, which it was good, great return. Depends how much these have improved. But if you're going to be backing Drifting, bear in mind it was beaten by Bold Bastille, and now it meets at 3 kilos worse. So I think at 350, Bold Bastille is a fantastic bet. Back to the straight. First up runs behind Mornington Glory, who's come out and won again in a really strong race. So yeah, mate, I've always had time for this horse. It's had one sort of average run at a $2 chance, and the rest of the times it's won with reasonable ease. And if it's beat the favourite in this, then why can't it win and beat this lot? So I'm pretty keen on it, mate, and I think that that $3 is just superb. I really can't see that going astray.
I like it, mate, and I was a bit disappointed with Bold Bastille first up because I was pretty keen on it with the no weight and Moonee Valley. But then, Mornington Glory won that race, and Mornington Glory's won a couple since, and then won the Moyer Stakes last weekend. So, I mean, the form's been frank there with, I think it was the Moyer Stakes, wasn't it? The bloody Mornington Glory won. Whatever it was a good feature race, and, the form's been frank. So I'll probably be with you there, but that race is a little bit open, and Bold Bastille sometimes worries me a little bit when it goes past 1,000 meters. But I like it, mate. $3.50, good odds. And you also like one in race four, which is the Poseidon Stakes. The favourite's Growing Empire. Got a big rap on that horse. So you think the favourite's going to win that one, or you like something else?
Yeah, I'm confident it'll win. I just think the one of these ones, mate. I went through and watched the last three wins and the replays, and it just doesn't get much easier. Like the last start win, it could have won by 4 lengths. Wonder Boy has come out and run really well since when we tipped that up to place, and it just hasn't even been challenged yet. You look through at the dangers, and there's not a whole lot going on here. I mean, I really did like the debut win of Reserve Bank. It was straight in the black book. It was a 5.5 length win, so that's untapped, and High Octane's got some pretty good form behind Gatsby's. So it's got some depth to this race, but as far as the eye can tell you, mate, Growing Empire's probably due for some better races than this. I think $1.90 is pretty fair.
Oh, absolutely. I really like the horse, and I think I've been on it every start in its career so far, and there was no reason for me to jump off it. Also, a good one to follow will be, it obviously beat Ain Wonder Boy there last start. Oh, it didn't beat Ain Wonder Boy. It absolutely pummeled Wonder Boy, running away from the whole field there first up. And Wonder Boy's obviously the favourite in the Exford Plate race too. So if you want to sort of have a look there before you go and knuckle down on Growing Empire in race four, listeners can do that. Race five, mate. I put up a big sort of push for Berkshire Breeze in the Melbourne Cup after a couple of those middle preparation performances over the 2020, 2500, 2600. And then, the tyres gotten a little bit flattened there last start when Horrifying beat it. But I'm pretty convinced that he can turn the tables on that horse here. And I'm pretty sure Mickey D will opt to take a seat here in the running line after leading last start. Ethan Brown was aboard last start, but the horse found the lead and it was run down at a short quote. But three runs leading into last start were a combined margin of 12.5 lengths, which is fair, unheard of in staying races, especially at that level. A lot of punters are not taking into account the fact that he was really out of his comfort zone last start and only just went down to Horrifying, who he meets better at the weights here. But they gapped third. I thought it was a good effort. Do you think Berkshire Breeze can turn the tables here at $3.70? Because I honestly think it's a great bet at that price.
Yeah, I think you're right, mate. It looks pretty good odds. I mean, you go look at its starting prices prior to this, and yeah, it's got to be respected in this. I think it can turn the tables as well. It did lose, but it still ran second. So as we said, same with Wonder Boy. Everyone, sorry, with Storm Boy. A lot of people quick to jump off the bandwagon and say it's no good, but it could come back, win by a couple lengths, and it's back in the heavy cup favourite. So yeah, it's hard to please punters, which is probably fair enough, but I think it can win this as well, mate. I think it's over the odds.
Well, I know what happened to Berkshire Breeze last start. After its third win there at Flemington, when it bolted in by 4.5 lengths, I went and obviously filled the kit bag on a Melbourne Cup ticket. So last start, then it comes out and gets beaten. It's probably double the price from when I backed it, but I can't even be bothered looking now. I'm just that disappointed. But hopefully that turns around on the weekend. Mate, just a quick one. The feature race, obviously the Macabre Diva Stakes on Saturday at Flemington. I was trying to give myself a little bit of a push again for Antino with Blake Shinn going aboard and out to the mile and unbelievable second up record, but I don't know what to do here prior to Jenny. I just wondered if you had any thoughts on this race, or more importantly, do you think anything can beat Via Sestina on the weekend at Flemington?
Yeah, I do think it can lose. I don't, if there's some shorties around the weekend that you want to take, I don't think that's the $2.21 I want to be with. I think it's the horse to beat, but yeah, I'm with you, mate. I mean, Pride of Jenny can easily bounce back and win this with ease. Mr. Brightside's a star. Via Sestina's just a bit of the new kid on the block, but I'm not sure if I want $2.30 about it in a field with proven stars. So yeah. It's a tricky race, mate. I'll probably just sit and watch it, to be honest. I'd love to see Pride of Jenny bounce back, but we really just don't know off that first up effort, do we?
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't back Pride of Jenny with stolen money after that first up effort. And then obviously J Mac's gone down to Melbourne. This is what he's gone down there for. And I do think BS 15 is gonna absolutely love the Flemington straight. But you look at the race, and the reason I couldn't back at Antino was I could just see Pride of Jenny there and Mr. Brightside in behind. The rest of these happy to take a seat. So Pinstripe hasn't won third up in its career. So I think that his preparation's probably been that Group One win, and he might sort of die off a little bit. But anyway, I think Mr. Brightside might be very hard to beat. I think Via Sestina is going to be very hard to beat. And if there's eight starters on Saturday, I'll convince myself to have an each way play on Antino, I think. Hopefully that's the winner. Mate, Kembla Grange, my hometown, one of the fairest tracks in the country, as we've been talking about in recent times. They got a good meeting on the weekend. We should have good weather. Might be in the soft five range, I think, after a little bit of drizzle. Race six, you like one in race six, which is a benchmark 64. Who do you like there?
Yeah, I don't know about the pronunciation, Achuesan, but it's four, five goes over this trip, made the Quinella in four of them, put three wins in a row together, and I thought they were really good, and then just came to a highway, didn't have much luck, not much went right. I think there's a future with this runner. Barrier one. I'm interested to see what the tactics are here from Alicia Collett. I do respect the favourite. After match is going okay, but it's been beaten odds on its past two starts. So do you want to take it again is the question. But yeah, $13 and $330. I think this runner needs another chance after two runs where it's had excuses. And just this trip suits the 1,200. So I think it'll run well here. Its past three wins before that were excellent. It was always heavily back. So I reckon, mate, it can at least run a placing. And yeah, sneaky going the win.
I like it, mate. I was half keen to have a go on after matching that race, but then I got a little bit concerned about the going back to 1,000 and out to 1,200 meters. But yeah, hopefully you've tipped that up a winner there. Good value at $13. I found one in race two that I was extremely keen to get around, and I'm hoping that I've found a really nice horse here. It's a really interesting one. The horse is called 4-year-old Chestnut Mare called Portfolio. I went back and watched both of its trials leading in. I always do when you got a Waterhouse runner, because she's good at sort of placing him in these areas and getting a win and then taking them off to bigger and better things. But you go back and watch this horse's trial on the 23rd of January, 2023. So it would have been a late 2-year-old. It absolutely flew home in a trial under very light riding, and it just screamed lots of ability. And I thought, geez, this is a horse to follow. And then the horse hasn't been seen until the 30th of August this year as an early 4-year-old. So it's had a lot of time out from racing, but what that tells me is, obviously has the ability. They wouldn't hold on to this horse, go Waterhouse to stable and things like that if it had something major go wrong. But then it's only had the one soft trial this time around with Clark aboard, same thing, and it doesn't have that Waterhouse on speed, getting bashed around style of racing. It's sat quiet in both trials, and it's hit the line really well. John Van Overmeer is the go-to rider for the stable at these sort of tracks. I like that it's going to sit wide at Kembla off a hot speed, and I think it'll fly home at $3.20. Hopefully it hasn't got anything too wrong with it. I haven't gone and done any research, but mate, if you haven't seen that horse's trials, go back and watch him, and I reckon you might be keen to have a little nibble at the $3.20.
Yeah, I'll check it out for sure.
Beautiful. On that note, mate, thanks for jumping on, and I'm just wondering what your best bet for the weekend is.
Yeah, I think Dawn Service into Bold Bastille to place, mate. $3, I'm pretty keen on that. I reckon that's a really good bet. What about you?
I like it. Oh, I'll start the day off with that midway Cornella with trees into your other runner, Monte Kate, and hopefully we can have some good money there. But to be honest, mate, like I said on this podcast this week, I've tipped up a bit of value from around the ground, and I think that there wasn't too many really short horses that I wanted to dive in and throw everything at. So they'll sort of be smaller bets. But for those who want to see what I come up with for the weekend selections, they'll be on the website either tomorrow night or early Saturday morning. All of my selections, best in value from both grounds. I had a really good day last weekend. So hopefully plenty of listeners got on there and had a look. And your selections can be found on a couple of websites too, mate. So let everyone know where they are, and we'll off we go.
Yeah, so Back a Winner is one of them, and then Smart B as well, which is sort of both combined at the moment. So, yeah, smartb.com.au, and you can go check the selections out there. And, yeah, that's where you'll find them all.
Beautiful, mate. And just quickly before I wrap things up, we've got a runner at Bathurst on Sunday afternoon in the last. I'm actually going out to Cowra on Saturday for a mate's – oh, well, for a horse racing mate of mine's 60th birthday. Bathurst and Airway, so I was going to shoot up there and watch the race, but we've come up with race 8 at Bathurst on Sunday. But old Rajnish, my good mate Rajnish, is going around. He's finally drawn barrier 1. We'll just hammer and tongs it from barrier 1. We'll take the lead and hopefully try and run it right out. He's come up about $8.50 in the market. I think he's probably worth an each way play, and I think that's the panorama at Bathurst. So it's a race with a couple of nice horses at one. So hopefully we can get a win there if any Rajnish owners are listening. Wish you the best of luck. And we also had Sunrise, a 3-year-old filly, take on older horses today in a 64 at Hawkesbury, ran third. She's got a bright future, so there's another one for listeners to follow, mate. But more importantly, you go and have a great night with your wife, and have a good time DJing on the weekend wherever you're at, and hopefully Willie Mason turns up and you can have a ball.
Beauty. Thank you, brother. Likewise.
Cheers, mate.